turn to Colossians chapter 3. It's what we're going to be looking at in a few moments now. Last week, Keith spoke about a wingman. I was wondering exactly what he was going to say about these things. He put these images up on Tom Cruise. I know I look a bit like him, but I couldn't understand what the point was. But about this wingman, he was saying, was this person who stands by us in life, who's there in that sense to watch our back and to be our support. And I suppose in life, everybody needs a wingman, whether it's, you know, a member of their family or a close friend. Everybody needs somebody to watch your back. And considering, you know, I don't trust anybody in life 100%, because I know I let me down all the time. So if I can let me down, you can absolutely guarantee everybody else can. But we still need a wingman. And Jesus, in that sense, is like our wingman, watching our backs and supporting us through life. But he's more than simply our wingman. It's through Jesus and we being in him that our eyes are opened to see our position, that we are seated in heavenly places at the right hand of God our Father. And it's through Jesus that we walk out our salvation on earth being more than conquerors. And that means seeing beyond our circumstances and the life challenges to what God is doing. Is that working okay, Pete?
I'll hit this button. Try that now. Is that working now? Before we sing a song this morning, and it's just a brief song, it's a new song I want people to know. It's a very, very old song. But before we sing that this morning, I want to read from God's word. It's Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 to 4. Paul writes these words. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And if you turn back a few pages to Ephesians chapter 4, I'm going to read from verse 7 to 13. Paul writes again, but to each one of us grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Now this he ascended, what does it mean but that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Okay, Pete. You have to sing this.
If it rains or freezes, long as I've got my plastic Jesus sitting on the dashboard of my car. Comes in colors pink and pleasant, glows in the dark cause it's iridescent. Take it with you when you travel far. Get yourself a sweet Madonna dressed in rhinestones, sitting on a pedestal of a baloney shell. Go in 90, I ain't scary, cause I've got the Virgin Mary. Now, let's go for it for the second time. Yourself, the sweet Madonna, dressed in rhinestones, certain on a Babylonian shell. Oh, in 90 I ain't scary, cause I got the Virgin Mary sure of me, that I won't go to hell.
You see, what we've got here is a failure to communicate. Now, this is a quotation from the film Cool Hand Luke, spoken first by the captain, a prison warden, and then by Paul Newman as Luke, who sang the song Plastic Jesus. What we've got here is a failure to communicate. Now, to understand the context of the quotation, that quotation, what we've got here is a failure to communicate, it's spoken twice. I would recommend that you watch the film to put it into its context. Our subject is Jesus ascended to heaven and sitting at God's right hand. Because as Christians we are in Jesus, believers are also seated with him at Christ's, at God's right hand. And as Keith said last week, we mustn't have blurred vision about this. Rather, we need to get our focus right by fixing our eyes and our hearts on things above, on Jesus, who rules over all things. You see, although we're walking in this world, at the same time, we are seated with Christ in heaven. And it's from that vantage point that we need to view things. We need to look at life. We need to look at our circumstances and our lives from a heavenly perspective. The problem is that many Christians only look at life from a worldly, need-based perspective. And to be truthful, they may as well have a plastic Jesus or a Madonna stuck to the dashboard of their car. They may as well have a plastic Jesus or a Madonna to hear their prayers. And so what we've got here is a failure to communicate. If we only view our circumstances, and I don't know what people are going through here this morning, but and maybe some of the people I know what's happening, but think about this just for a moment. If we only view our circumstances or life challenges from a worldly need-based perspective, we will become dependent on a hell of a lot of plastic Jesuses and sweet Madonnas throughout our lives. And these are absolutely futile. In his writings, Paul tells us, seek those things which are above, where Christ is. Set your mind on things above, not on things on earth. And most Christians will know the wee cliche that so-and-so's so heavenly minded that he's no earthly use. But this is not what Paul means when he says, seek those things which are above where Christ is. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. I believe what Paul is saying is, get your focus right. See where you are, not where you shall be. Christians live like, oh, I'm looking forward to going to heaven. And yeah, that's wonderful because we'll see Jesus face to face. But we are already seated with Christ in heavenly places. And what Paul is saying is, get your focus right, see where you are, and look at things from that vantage point. And so this morning, I want to briefly look at three areas of walking out our salvation: prayer, praise, and pastoral care. And hopefully not fail to communicate the need to see these from our vantage point in Christ, from a heavenly perspective. Let me just pray. Father, help us this morning, as Paul says, enlighten our eyes, open up our understanding to see where we are in Christ Jesus, to look at our circumstances and life challenges from that perspective. Help us this morning to hear what you're saying to us, please. In Jesus' name, amen. The first one is prayer. Keith said, prayer is the Christian's means of communicating with God. It's how we keep the connection of being seated with Christ and walking on earth. But let's be honest. How do you pray? Dear Father, way, way up in the sky in some remote place called heaven, I just ask that you would forgive me for this or that, and I pray, dear God, way up in the sky, that you would do this for so and so, and I'll ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You see, when we come to God in prayer, too often our prayers, our communication with God, our Father, is need-driven. And this is not how we should pray. Don't get me wrong. Needs drive us to prayer. But your needs should not be the predominant thing. Needs do drive us to prayer, and thank God for those needs. But the need should not determine how we pray. You see, Jesus taught his disciples to get their focus right in prayer. He said, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Now, can you see this morning where the focus lies? Our Father, let your will be done. And Paul is saying exactly the same thing when he says, seek those things which are above where Christ is. Set your mind on things above, not on things on earth. He's telling us to see things from our heavenly position, where we are seated with Christ who rules over all, including our daily circumstances. So if you're going through hell today, praise God, because Jesus is ruling over it. And he's saying to you, guess what? I've allowed this into your life because I want you to see it from this perspective, and I want you to use my solution to address it. Both Jesus and Paul want us to learn to pray from this vantage point. Not out of our circumstances. If we begin to pray out of our circumstances, we will be consumed by self. And we'll have missed the point. And yet if we learn these truths about Jesus ruling over all things, about our position in Christ at God's right hand, they will determine how we pray and what we pray. You see, it's about letting the word of Christ dwell in us richly. And I know people who think that means I must learn as many memory verses as possible. And if that's the case, me and Dave's going to hell. Because we are just rubbish at it in memorizing verses. And I know other people who really do memorize scriptures so fantastically, but they haven't got the brains to hold a conversation with you. All they can do is rhyme off scripture verses. I bump into one man in particular in Bangor and say, "Oh, what about you? Oh, the Lord says this. And John 3:16 says," and I think, in the name of flipping Nora, do you not know how to have a conversation with people without rhyming off verses? And so whenever Paul is trying to present to us about letting the word of Christ dwell in us richly, he's not talking about learn as many memory verses as possible. Don't get me wrong, it's good to memorize what the word of God says. But he's saying let God's truth so occupy our minds rather than preoccupation with worldly need-based prayers that may as well be offered to a plastic Jesus or sweet Madonna. He's saying pray from your heavenly vantage point, seated in Christ at God's right hand. Now, I'm not saying to people to get into this, but you know, I'm not into visualization, but imagine the next time you go into the secret place to pray. Imagine that you're seated with Jesus, who is seated at God's right hand. What would you pray? He's there. Ready to hear. How would you pray? If you can really grasp that that is where we are. We are seated with Christ at God's right hand. And he wants us to pray from that vantage point. The second area of walking out our salvation from this vantage point in Christ is praise. How do you praise God? It's all about me, Jesus. It's not about you. It's all about me, Jesus, and feeling good. You see, that song would make you feel good, wouldn't it? It's all about me, Jesus. And sometimes I think Jesus is sitting up there thinking, well, I hope this one doesn't last too long. If we're singing praise or so-called worship and it's all about me, it may as well be sung to a plastic Jesus or a sweet Madonna. It's plastic Jesus or sweet Madonna time if our praise doesn't flow from hearts that have the Word of God dwelling richly in them. All praise, all thanksgiving, all worship must be about God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It must be focused on who God is, what God has done and is doing and will do. As was once written, we need to get back to the heart of worship, which is all about Jesus, not us and our needs. You see, when we see things from our vantage point seated in Christ in heavenly places, it's so much easier to praise God. It's so much easier to worship the Lord. And when we see things from our vantage point, we can praise God whatever our circumstances may be. And that's the beautiful thing. When we recognize where we are, like we were singing this morning, I cannot die. Now, let's get real. Clanty Boy Graveyard tells us the opposite. And I've got 2 plots booked. So I must be going up in bits. But I know physically, unless the Lord returns, I know I'm going to die. But what Jesus is saying is this: you're not. You're going to come out of that shell, horrible, hideous shell that he has given me, and you're going to come out of that shell and enter into the presence of the Lord. You're never going to die. The old flesh is going back to the dust from which it came. But Taddy Gordon's going on to be with the Lord, and that is the case for us. When we can recognize our position in Christ, who we are, what we are, where we are, it's so much easier to praise God even in the worst of circumstances. The third point that I want to raise is pastoral care. I love this one. You see, the third area of us walking out our salvation from our vantage point in Christ is pastoral care. How do you this morning view pastoral care? I'm absolutely flipping rubbish at it. Do you view it as, oh, that's something that the pastors do? Well, it's interesting that Paul speaks like this. He speaks of teaching and admonishing each other in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Teaching and admonishing each other. You see, pastoral care is what we do for each other. It's not just the role of the pastors. When Paul speaks of letting the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, he wants this so that we can help one another get our minds set on things above when we face difficulties and life challenges. Because when we face difficulties and life challenges, it's very, very difficult to get our minds set on things above. But when a brother or a sister draws alongside us to support us and encourage us and offer pastoral care, it helps us get our focus right. Pastoral care is about the body of Christ working together, helping and supporting one another to the glory of God. It's about enabling one another to understand how the word of Jesus affects our attitudes to our problems and understanding what kind of solution we are looking for. You see, too often, when faced with problems, Christians will try to get rid of them dead quickly and blame Satan. Rebuke you, Satan, get out! In the hope that the circumstances are going to change and suddenly. And don't get me wrong, I believe in spiritual warfare and there is a need for us to use the weapons of warfare effectively. But too often when we face problems in life, Christians try to get rid of them, or they fight them, or gurn about them, and complain about them. And we don't take time to first look at things from our heavenly perspective, where Jesus rules over all things, and see he has something to teach us by these problems. You see, pastoral care is not about running to the pastor in the hope that they will solve your problem. I'm a bit like the Monty Python sketch, you know, where somebody goes in to complain and says complaints on the door, and the guy goes in and says, I want to complain. And the man says, you want to complain? Look at these shoes. I bought them last week and already starting to wear out. When people run to me for pastoral care, before you know it, I'm dumping all my stuff on them. Pastoral care is not about running to the pastor in the hope that they're going to solve your problem. The pastor's role, like everyone else, is to point you to Jesus, where you are seated with him, and try to help you see things from that vantage point. If you're looking for the pastor to solve your problems, trust me, you'd be better off with a plastic Jesus stuck to the dashboard of your car. That's not the role of the pastor. The role of the pastor, the leader, is to help Christians to provide pastoral care for each other. As Paul says, equipping the saints for service, for edifying the body of Christ. And they do this by getting people to understand who Jesus is, where he is, and that they are seated with him. They seek to get people to look at their circumstances and life challenges from that vantage point. It's about getting Christians to understand problems are given by Jesus to teach us to resolve them in the way that he has planned. Are you grasping this morning? It's about getting Christians to understand problems are given by Jesus. So have you got problems in your life this morning? Problems are given by Jesus to teach us to resolve them in the way he has planned. I hope this is not a case of what we've got here is failure to communicate. If we don't get this, if we don't grasp this at this time, all I can say to you is press on, get your focus right on Jesus. Because if you don't, if you can't grasp it now, at least get your focus on Jesus. Because when problems come, and the psalmist talks about the problems and the troubles of my heart being multiplied and enlarged, when Satan comes in like a flood upon you, if you don't get your focus right, trust me, you will turn to a plastic Jesus or a sweet Madonna. And so like Paul this morning, it's my prayer that the eyes of our hearts will be continually enlightened so that we too can see where Jesus is and where we are with him. Let's take on board this morning what Paul says. Let's seek those things which are above where Christ is. Set our mind on things above, not on things on earth. Why? Because Jesus is ruler over all things. And he knows what you're going through. And he already has planned the solution. You've got to look to him to find it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we thank you this morning that we don't need to turn to idols, to plastic Jesuses or sweet Madonnas, to superstitious nonsense, Lord God. The gods of the world are nothing but idols. As Rita said this morning in her reading, God is ruler and maker of all things. And we know you and we love you. Help us, Father, to see who we are as children of the living God and where we are seated at your right hand in Christ Jesus. Help us, please, to view our circumstances and the problems that come into our lives, the life challenges that we face. Help us to view them from that vantage point and to look to you for the solutions to them, please. We ask it in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son. Amen.